Good morning.
Good morning.
In my role as a university chaplain, I get to observe the college experience for students from a unique perspective. I'm not an instructor, but I value their academic achievements. I'm not just a staff person, but I am intimately involved in the administrative aspects of the institution. My students are bright and creative, funny and fun to be around. College is truly a unique time in their lives when they come to know themselves as individuals, separate from their families. There are endless opportunities for these students. Many of them are high academic achievers, setting high standards for themselves in the classroom. Most also participate in multiple student groups, aiming to serve on executive boards because this looks good or promising on a resume or CV. They search for internships while in school to help them get a foothold in the job market after graduation. Or, in addition to attending school, they must work to support themselves. Plus, you know, they also have to have a social life somewhere in there. Sometimes it's too many things for 18 to 22-year-olds to manage. Fortunately, they're young, and staying up until 2 a.m. to work on your homework and then getting up for your 8 a.m. class the next morning is a lot easier at that age. But it doesn't mean the competing realities of their obligations are any easier to navigate. The students I have encountered these days have been on this cycle of constantly being busy in order to look good for college applications or for the working world since high school or even earlier. It's no wonder then that I often end up with a student in my office looking lost and bewildered around midterms or finals. They reach a breaking point of the expectations they and sometimes others have put on them to be doing, as they might say, all of the things. They feel pulled in so many different directions about what the ideal college life is supposed to be for them. When they come to me, they share feelings of emptiness, of being burnt out, fear for the future, or just worry in general. It's at this point that I often ask, do you have a spiritual practice? Can you take 10 minutes of your day to center yourself? When do you find time that's just for you? It could be prayer, it could be meditation, it could be a walk without headphones across campus, noticing the world around you. Or it could just be being in community with others through worship or fellowship. Most of the students I talk to don't have a cultivated spiritual life. They either haven't been introduced to the ways they can connect to something bigger than themselves, or they have been hurt by larger religious institutions and therefore have resisted anything that might seem too churchy. Or sometimes it's just not high enough a priority for them in a context where they feel as though they must constantly be busy in order to appear to be a productive member of society. However, their busyness can often distract them from really figuring it out who they truly are. Not just what major they have or what career aspirations they hold, but as former Dean of Marsh Chapel would say, the Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman, what makes them come alive. It's one of the great pleasures of my calling to help students along the journey of self-discovery in a way that builds their awareness of the relationship they have with God. Incorporating spiritual practice within one's life does not diminish the importance of any of the work that they still have to do. College students' priority should be attending classes to prepare them for graduation, as well as having experiences that form them into young adults. A cultivated spiritual life can help build resilience that aids in bringing meaning to the tasks that they must accomplish. I'm sure many of us can relate to the worries I've described above. Our lives are often ruled by busyness or productivity because our society has set those things as values to achieve. A good person or a good life is defined by how much we work, how much we earn, how little time we actually have for ourselves. We are pulled in many directions, doing the things we must do to survive in a society that sometimes we forget that cultivating our inner spiritual lives is also important. In today's gospel, Jesus gently admonishes Martha that she is too worried and distracted by many things. There's a lot to unpack in today's gospel message, and if we read it too quickly and out of context, we might walk away with the wrong message. This week, Jesus is still on the road to Jerusalem. We've just left the scene of Jesus instructing the lawyer about who his neighbor is and how to go and do likewise through the parable of the Good Samaritan. As Jesus had instructed his disciples, they stop along the way, welcomed into people's homes, such as the home of Mary and Martha. It appears that Martha is the head of this household. There's no mention of any male counterparts, unlike in John's gospel, in which Lazarus is present with his sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha makes her home ready for Jesus and the disciples. She extends hospitality to them, something that is a desirable quality among Jesus' followers and is expected by Jesus and his disciples. So then, why does there appear to be so much contention between Martha's acts of hospitality and Mary's contemplation at Jesus' feet? Is Mary superior to Martha because of what takes place? No, not really. Even though Jesus tells Martha that Mary has chosen the better part. What we can take away from this story is that our lives as followers of Jesus are not one extreme or the other. Martha is being hospitable, something that our lesson from Genesis teaches us is a good quality to have. Abraham is greatly favored. However, Jesus points out that Martha is too worried and distracted in what she was hoping to accomplish. Distracted here is the Greek word perispamai, which literally means to be pulled in many directions. This tension that Martha feels finally bubbles up into her question, to Jesus, something that we may also say in a stressful hosting position, and I'm paraphrasing here. Jesus, can't you see that I have a lot to do and Mary isn't doing anything? Tell her to help me. I bet if Jesus were to show up here, we would do everything we could to make sure that his stay was comfortable and one where he felt loved. However, doing all of these practical matters without remembering what is central to Jesus' ministry, the Word of God, can cause us to miss the better part entirely. Serving others is obviously an important part of being a follower of Jesus. That's what the whole parable of the Good Samaritan is about, showing our love and care for our neighbor. However, what is foundational to that love and care of neighbor is our love of God. This is the one thing that is central to our ministries. In this case, Mary recognizes that in this moment, providing deep attentiveness to Jesus' presence is the ultimate way to extend hospitality. It is not Jesus who needs to be provided for in this situation. He is the one who is providing through his teaching. There is a certain power in hearing the word of God and how it can shape our lives. That is why we gather for worship, to hear the word of God proclaimed and to share in the sacraments with one another. The Holy Spirit gathers us together as the church through the means of word and sacrament. We are then sent out into the world to be in service to others. In our church, in the Lutheran church, we have two forms of rostered ministers, those of word and sacrament and those of word and service. The former we call pastors, the second we call deacons or diaconal ministers or... There's been various words used throughout the time of their existence. The important part is that the word part of these ministries is essential to our Lutheran identity. It is the grounding of our everyday acts. For Luther, it wasn't enough to just read the Bible silently to oneself, but to hear the word proclaimed out loud in community with one another. The power of the word lies in its proclamation and its hearing. Our task is to walk the balancing act of being listeners and doers and understanding how one feeds the other. Our faith is rooted in God, mediated by the word and expressed through our love of care of neighbor. In a world where busyness seems to be rewarded, let us stop and ask ourselves, busyness for the sake of what? Obviously, some of our tasks are essential. We must care for our families, pay bills, be a member of our society. We serve the church in the capacities that help it continue to grow and function. However, we must also keep a part of ourselves connected with the Word of God, attentive to the presence of Christ with us. Cultivating our own spiritual practices, not for the sake of just doing them because we feel compelled to, God, can help us find meaning and peace. We are continually renewed in our faith by that one thing that is the better choice, to hear God's love proclaimed, reminding us who we are, God's beloved. No matter how worried and distracted we might find ourselves, we have a soft place to land at the feet of Jesus. Amen.